Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution? Or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on Om Times Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meet. My name is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality, and my company is called Eros Coaching. I'm based in Singapore, and of course, I'm also available via Skype. Today, I have a guest who I have been really looking forward to interviewing for a really long time. I've been admiring her work for a long time from afar, and her name is Stephanie Bueller, and she's a licensed psychologist and ASEX certified sex therapist and supervisor. She has her practice in womanology, Restore Him. It's an integrated clinic located at Newport Beach in Irvine, California. She's written several books, and her textbook, What Every Mental Health Professional Needs to Know About Sex, is used at universities all over the U.S. She's working on a new book, and I can't wait to get this book, and it's called Counseling Couples Before, During, and After Pregnancy. And we know, going through body changes, lots of people experience low sex drive and all kinds of things. So she began her business, the Bueller Institute, in 2007, and the institute trains therapists and counselors in how to help individuals and couples with their sexual problems. And this is one program that is completely online and available to anyone around the world who wants to learn more about sexuality. The other program is blended with part online and part live in Newport Beach. And you can go to her website, that's thebuellerinstitute.com, and you can also find her on Facebook. Okay, so today's show, we're going to be talking about procreation and recreation. So the show title is When Procreation, Making Babies, and Recreation, Having Fun, collide, couples and intimacy during infertility treatment. As people wait longer to marry and start families, the incidence of infertility has increased. And even young couples sometimes struggle with infertility. There are sexual problems that cause infertility, including vaginismus, which I work with a lot of clients on, and delayed ejaculation. This is a condition that happens when a man wants to ejaculate but cannot ejaculate when he wants to. It takes much longer. And infertility can also cause sexual difficulty, especially low desire, low sex drive. There are also emotional problems such as sadness and defeat that can make it difficult for couples to relate to each other. And in this program, today's show, Dr. Bueller will talk about the relationship and sexual difficulties related to infertility. So welcome to the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Martha. I'm very excited to be doing this show with you.
I'm so honored. You're one of the people who was already doing this work when I started out. And of course, I've been admiring you from afar for many years.
I've been watching you too. I've been watching you too. And I've been watching you evolve. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. So I'm starting to, I've been an ASEX certified sex educator since 2009, and only this year I'm going to apply to be a CE provider. So, I really admire your work. So tell us, when you talk about, when you talk about procreation and recreation, can you share with us a little bit about the link and the importance for them to collide?
Yeah, so I'm writing a book called Counseling Couples Before, During, and After Pregnancy, Intimacy and Sexuality. And what I noticed is that a lot of people these days, many people enjoy sex, of course, and they enjoy the recreational part of sex. But then when it comes to time to for family planning and for getting pregnant, sometimes there's a lot of pressure, or sometimes there are problems with infertility, and then people start to have sexual problems. And then the other way around, sometimes there are people who have difficulty enjoying sex, have difficulty enjoying the recreational side, and they're the ones that maybe want to have a family but are unable to because they have some sort of sexual difficulty, like you said, like vaginismus, or for men, delayed ejaculation. So you get kind of things going either way. You get sexual difficulties that cause infertility. You get infertility treatment or family planning causing sexual difficulties. And then the book is also about, it's going to be about what happens during pregnancy, because that's a whole other thing that we can talk about a little. And then, of course, postpartum, after the baby is born, what happens to couples? You know, they've gone through this amazing experience. We hope it was an amazing experience. We know that it's not always amazing. They've gone through an amazing experience, we hope. And then what happens to the couple's relationship? What happens to the recreational part of sex now that they went through this whole process? So sometimes we know sex after baby diminishes. And there is lots of research that shows us that couples with children under the age of 5 are the least happy. So that's kind of terrible, because you think, oh, you know, I think people think, oh, we're going to have a family, it's going to be so wonderful, it'll be fun. And there are parts of it that are, but then there are lots of parts of it that aren't. And people sometimes have relationship and sexual difficulties after baby is born. So that there you go. Those are the links.
Yeah, I agree with you very much so, that there's so much of struggle after baby. And then there's all this pressure during trying to have a baby. I have had clients coming in when they're trying to have baby, and the woman is saying things like, "What's so difficult? All you need to do is just give me your sperm, and I have to carry the baby. I'm the one who has to suffer." Blah blah blah. And there's this sense of shaming the man that seems to happen. It's almost like this hate for men. But then you're trying to have a baby with this man that you're insulting,
right? Yeah, so there's a lot of shame that goes along with if you're trying to have a baby and things aren't working, you know, the penis is not working, the vagina is not working. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt. It's frustrating for both. But what you find is that sometimes people say, because I think they feel they're supposed to say, that they are really into it. They really want to have a family. But then when you get one partner off by themselves, sometimes you find out that they're kind of scared, right? They're ambivalent. They say, yes, we want to start a family. Then when you get them alone, they go like, oh, I don't know. So men sometimes have problems like delayed ejaculation. They can't ejaculate because they're not so sure about this whole baby thing.
And I also have,
and women too. So I've had a lot of women too who are sometimes ambivalent, or they're scared. Sometimes they're just scared of the prospect of labor and delivery. You know, they've heard horror stories, or maybe their mother said, oh, when I had you, it was so horrible, and they're afraid it's going to be so painful and horrible. So they develop vaginismus. So that's not a very healthy way of coping, of course. And so, you know, someone like that really can benefit from treatment and understand their complicated feelings and learn how to cope with their fears.
So while you're saying that you have clients who develop vaginismus when they're trying to have a baby, so that's secondary vaginismus?
Yes. So vaginismus, I'm guessing that if women have listened to you, they know, and I know that you treat vaginismus, so that's when penetration, penis-vagina penetration is not possible or it's very painful. So a lot of those women, sometimes they really do want a baby, but they won't come in for treatment of vaginismus until that point. So they've never, had couples, I'm sure you had too, with unconsummated marriage, sometimes a year, 2 years, 4 years, 7 years, where a couple has never had intercourse, but they want a family. The reason they've never had intercourse is often vaginismus. And I found that some of those women have a lot of fears about having sex for a number of reasons, but sometimes they're really afraid of becoming pregnant. They don't like the idea of having anything growing inside of them, or they don't like the idea of something being dependent on them. So those are very complicated feelings that take some time to talk through and get them resolved.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, we often have the assumption that it's going to be so beautiful to get pregnant and have a baby. And yet there are women who feel that this is something that is a burden, that's going to cramp their style. And also all those things that are going to happen to their body, the figure, and also the change, and how also
a lot of people are... Yes, the responsibilities. So I think, women still bear most of the parenting responsibilities, the housekeeping responsibilities. Maybe they have to work as well. And sometimes they're not that excited.
Conscious Lifestyle on Steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
And welcome back to Eros Evolution. This is where we always explore the link between sex and spirit. And you can find this show on ohmtimes.com/mobile. With this show, you are able to listen to it without needing to download any app. So it's a live feed that is happening right now. Everything here is live. Just now I dropped off the show, and now I'm back. Don't worry, I'm here. So we are with Stephanie Bueller, and she's a licensed psychotherapist and ASEC certified sex therapist and supervisor. And you can find her at thebuellerinstitute.com. That's B-U-E-H-L-E-R institute.com. And we're talking about infertility today, the link between procreation and recreation. And just before break, we were talking about problems around infertility, some people not being able to consummate their marriage. Sometimes it's the male who doesn't really want to have a baby. Sometimes it's the woman. And this can really come to a head when they start trying. And so I know, Stephanie, that you work with a lot of people who have infertility. So maybe before we start using this work very loosely, what is infertility to you, and how is it treated?
Right. So, well, I think the definition is for couples that are under the age of 35, if they have tried to become pregnant for a year without any result, then the thought is perhaps there is infertility. For couples over the age of 35, the understanding is that you should try for 6 months. And then if nothing happens, because time is of the essence, then you want to see a fertility specialist sooner than later. And infertility can happen for, it can happen for one partner, or it can happen for both partners. And there can be hormonal reasons, mechanical reasons, blockages, and, for women, things like endometriosis. So there are a variety of problems that can make it difficult for couples to get pregnant. I think the rate of infertility here in the States is going up because people are delaying marriage, and so they are delaying having children. I know I have a lot of couples coming into my office saying, oh, well, the woman will say, oh, I'm 35, so I think we should start trying to have a family. And, well, I'm going, well, yes, definitely, if that's what you want, you should start trying. But really, women who wait, the chances of having trouble goes up, and also the chance of having miscarriage goes up as well. So that's not to say that women should be feel pressured or forced to have children before the age of 35, just that they need to realize that there are risks associated with waiting. For men, women, of course, have to worry about the quality of their eggs. Men, not so much, although there is a little bit of research suggesting that as men get older, the quality of sperm may not be the same as it was when they were younger. But for the most part, unless a man has a sexual problem or has had, say, a cancer where he is no longer fertile, men can reproduce until they're into old age.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when they learn that they are facing infertility, they would have all this whole range of emotions. And is this where you come in and work with them?
Yes. Yes, definitely. I've had couples be so sad and sometimes very angry about when they find out that one or both of them have infertility. I've had couples even say, they grieve, I think. They grieve over the loss of health. So you have somebody who's maybe, 38, could be male or female. They look healthy, they look okay, but then they find out that there's actually something going on with them that they had no idea was a problem. And so there can be feelings of shame, anger, disappointment, and grief. Sometimes couples, I think, get very confused by the diagnosis. I've had couples say things like, well, maybe we're not really meant to be together. Maybe our chemistry isn't right, and so we don't belong together. So that just exposes a fear that they have. I think it says something about how upsetting it is. I think it also means that sometimes they may feel like, oh, no, I married you, and I didn't know that there was going to be this problem, and now what? So it's a very difficult situation. I will say that for a lot of couples, going through infertility treatment pulls them together. They have a shared goal, and they're able to support each other emotionally. And of course, we're talking about couples that have the financial means, and I don't know what it's like where you are, but here in the States, if you go for IVF treatment, sometimes insurance only covers a small part of it. So that makes it very costly. I've had couples argue about whether or not they wanted to pursue treatment because of the expense. And maybe one does, and the other says, no, you know what, we can take in foster children or we can adopt. So you have disagreements. And then, of course, going through the treatment, if a woman is taking, say, injections to stimulate ovulation, I think we've all heard of women who've had a really terrible time and, with hormones being all over the place and just not feeling very good. And husbands sometimes don't know how to manage those things. And then because we are on a show about sexology, we also know that sometimes lesbian couples are going through these procedures as well. One is trying to get pregnant. The idea of using where to get sperm from, donor sperm, and this kind of thing. And that's true for heterosexual couples as well. It can become very complex. And I think people, because partners, it's a very tough situation, partners don't want to share their anxiety or their fears with each other because they're afraid you're going to hurt their partner, and their partner is going to think, well, you're not totally committed to this process, so why am I going through this? And so, sometimes partners don't share their feelings about what's going on, and they withdraw emotionally, and so you can get relationship problems that happen. And of course, those relationship problems can lead to sexual difficulties, right? So it's complicated.
Yes. So I really start to appreciate all the different layers of it from you, and this is where seeking talk therapy from someone like you will really support them. Do you feel like being able to deal with the emotional side of things, talking with you, helps them to conceive more easily?
Yes, because I have a one urologist that specializes in infertility. And he sends me a lot of men who have delayed ejaculation. And so sometimes being able to come in and talk to someone who isn't going to judge them if they express their fears about having a baby and having the responsibility of a baby, or sometimes they're upset with their partner, like, my partner's being so difficult right now, and all she talks about is baby things, and I'm done with the whole thing. So having a place to vent and just kind of get their feelings out helps a lot. Anybody who's listening and thinking, we're going through that, maybe we should go talk to somebody, I would really encourage you to do so. And just talking to somebody once, twice, a couple of times can be very helpful.
Yes. And also the normalization of it, that it is common what they're going through, that other people go through this as well.
Yes. Yes, I think that's a very good point to, you know, because then you can, the therapist can say, you know what, you're not alone, and there are other people going through the same thing. Sometimes support groups are helpful, but I don't think, at least here, not a lot of great support for men. Women will go to groups or get online into chat rooms and forums and connect with other women. So I think it's sometimes, you know, men get left out of the whole process. They sort of get marginalized and forgotten, and they have feelings about that. They're not just, you know, they're not just the bringer of sperm. they're live human beings, and they have feelings too, even if they don't express them so easily.
Yeah, I really can see that. And especially when men find that they can't really talk with other men when it comes to all these topics, there's this male bravado that seems to happen in male circles, and they often feel very isolated. And when they have an issue with their partner, they don't really know that they can talk about it. So that can be very challenging.
Yes, for sure. Very challenging. And like I said, you know, sometimes men don't feel comfortable talking to their partner. They don't want to upset their partner. And sometimes I end up, if I'm seeing the man alone, I'll end up encouraging him to find some ways to talk to his partner about what he's feeling. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I'm struggling, so I don't want to do this anymore. It's just, I need to let you know that I'm struggling. And that gives her an opportunity to listen.
Yes. Well, we have a break, and we're going to come back after the break and come back more on the issue of infertility.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Lori Walker.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in the beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
What's up? This is Brad and Mike from Linkin Park for Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS. Listen up. Times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
Welcome back to today's show. We're talking about the link between procreation and recreation when couples and intimacy doing infertility treatment. And in today's show, we talked about some of the sexual problems that they face. We talked about the emotional side, the financial side that can happen, and the challenges that happens when They are having difficulties relating, talking about their feelings, thoughts, and the importance of getting support. And so Stephanie Bueller, she's here. She's with the Bueller Institute .com, and she works with lots of couples with this issue, with Womanology Restore Him Clinic, with clinics located at Newport Beach and Irvine, California. And so, so Stephanie, do tell us a little bit more about the challenges that couples face when they are pregnant.
Yes, so it's, that's something that's been pretty interesting for me. Now, I don't get a lot of couples during the pregnancy, but I do get some. And I've had couples say, you know, maybe they're not getting along, or I've had kind of interesting couples coming in. Sometimes the woman got pregnant, even though she has vaginismus, maybe through the, here we call it a splash pregnancy, meaning that the man ejaculated outside of the vagina and, you know, sperm got to the egg and it got fertilized. And so I've had women with vaginismus who are pregnant. So that's very interesting. They're usually kind of upset about the whole thing, as you can imagine. Oh, oh goodness, I'm carrying a baby, but I didn't even get an opportunity to conceive it in a normal way. And it feels terrible for them. But it does happen. And I do have couples that maybe I was treating and they became pregnant during the course of treatment. So I don't have a lot of couples calling me during pregnancy and saying, oh, we've got to get in there because one of us doesn't have any desire for sex, right? But I still think it's important for us as psychotherapists to understand what happens during pregnancy, because that can tell us something about maybe what happened after, or how couples cope with problems, or how they cope with times when there's no sex going on. So what we understand is that for most couples, there's sexual activity. Usually there's a little bit less in the first trimester, because women may not feel, a woman may not be feeling very good. She may have fatigue, morning sickness, tenderness, you know, just maybe in shock, you know, being pregnant. But that doesn't mean that there's zero sexual activity. It's just maybe not as much. And then during the second trimester, when she's feeling a little better, then there's maybe more sexual activity going on. And then in the last trimester, the sexual activity diminishes. But, you know, every couple seems to be different, and there are couples, and I have had couples in my practice who say they had sex or intercourse right up until, you know, maybe 2 weeks before their child was born. So then you have to wonder about the couples where there was nothing happening, right? So, like no sexual activity at all. And the most common reason that people don't have sex during pregnancy is that they are afraid that the fetus will hear them or will understand that they're having intercourse.
Yeah.
So I've had people say that to me, right? Like right to my, I'm going, yeah. You really don't believe that, do you?
Yeah. So do you feel that it's a cultural thing, or like lack of sex education?
Yeah, right? Yeah. But I understand, too, that I read a study in one culture, and I think it was a study done in Iran, where some of the women did not want to have intercourse during pregnancy, because if they had a girl, it would mean that she had lost her virginity. And so that was very...
Yeah, me too. Oh, okay, so I don't know what happened. Stephanie's voice got cut off. And so we just got to the exciting part about her saying that women who are pregnant in Iran don't want to have sex with their husbands because this would mean that their daughters, if they had a daughter, lost a virginity. So, yeah, the lack of sex education really does a number on people. I also have had clients who say things like, first, there's a lot of blaming of the men. That's very common. And then I actually had one client who came in very soon after delivering baby and was immediately asking about how to resume sex with her husband as soon as possible, almost as if they're resentful about being a mom, having her independence taken away by the child, and wanting to get back in on the action so as to assert her independence as and her ability to like juggle all things. And so all that pressure that she puts on herself when actually her body is going through lots of changes, including breastfeeding. And I know of several clients who, when they're breastfeeding, find that they don't have any sex drive, and and even after they stop breastfeeding, the lack of sex drive continues, sometimes as long as a year after baby. And so these are some of the challenges that happens so far on today's show that we mentioned, before baby, during baby, and after baby. So I'm still not getting Stephanie on. I don't know what's happening. So this is what happens when we have a live show. Things come up and we don't know. Sometimes it's quite stressful. So another thing that happens with IVF, in my experience, is that because of all the hormonal changes and because it's no guarantee. I was told it's like 50% chance of getting pregnant. And so it's also very expensive. So in Singapore, at least, if you are below 30, you get the first treatment paid for by the government, I believe. And if you're above that age, you don't get that paid for by the government. And so that can be a real challenge for people who find that at the end of this, they consider like painful and emotional ride, doing hormonal injections to have more eggs come out for IVF, that they still end up not pregnant, and it's very stressful. So when it comes to that, it's really important, like what Stephanie mentioned just now, to get support. Women get support with support groups and finding communities online. I certainly know of people who have done that. And it was very interesting, several years ago in Singapore, there was this article of this group of brides that got together to discuss what are the best, like photographers, venues, flowers, so on and so forth. And they continued supporting each other after their weddings and then going into motherhood. And so there's this, I don't know whether there's this community that they created for themselves, all getting married the same year, all then starting to do family planning. And there's always the good and the bad around it. I guess the bad is this comparison that can happen. However, also in Asian culture, there's a lot of this collective activities that people really like doing. I never liked it, and so that's probably why I'm more able to cope with being a sexologist in Singapore and caring less about what people think has helped me. However, I do see a lot of this, I call it like herd consciousness. They get caught up with what friends are doing and they compare, oh, this person just got married and she's pregnant, what about me, why me, poor me, that can happen, and that's very difficult when they also get asked a lot by their friends and family, why are they not pregnant, they should get pregnant, it really helps the relationship, it helps at least if the man were to leave her, she would at least have a child. So things like that, these kind of things gives a lot of pressure, especially to the woman, because there's this assumption that it's the woman who doesn't want a baby, and in reality, the man somehow doesn't seem to get the same kind of pressure that a woman seems to get when it comes to having a baby. And of course, there's lesbian couples, but that is not really talked about so much in Asia. I only know of one lesbian couple that conceived two kids, and they were considered the pioneers in Singapore. And so in today's show, we're talking about when procreation and recreation collide, couples and intimacy during infertility treatment. And my guest, Dr. Stephanie Buehler, she works with clients directly in this integrated clinic at Newport Beach and Irvine. And I don't know whether I'm pronouncing correct, but it's Hoag Hospital. That's H-O-A-G. And
okay.
She's written several books. Oh, okay. You're back. I was just like wondering what happened. Okay, so we have a break.
Hi.
And
okay.
We have a break, and now we'll discuss our break.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on Om Time Radio.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
And we are into the last 15 minutes of today's show, and we are with Stephanie Buehler, and she is with the BuehlerInstitute.com. That's B-U-E-H-L-E-R. And so, Stephanie, do you have any advice for couples who are going through IVF and or any other form of infertility treatment?
I do, and that's a very good question. So I think that couples, first of all, I think that they should get support and not hold on to their feelings, to find friends or family or a support group or a therapist if they are struggling, and not try to go through it alone.
And so that would be one thing. The other is to one of the things that I tell couples, if they're having baby-making sex and they're finding it to be mechanical or robotic, you know, and they may even worry that they're, you know, might feel like their doctor is in the room with them while they're having sex, you know, like looking over their shoulder, this kind of thing. So I think that, you know, couples can do a couple of things. One is to have sex where, you know, like non-baby-making sex and say, okay, when we have baby-making sex, it's going to be kind of quick and we know what we're doing, and so we're just going to make it happen. And then have other sessions of lovemaking where it's going to be more enjoyable and pleasurable. I have had couples also decide that they were going to have fun and make baby-making sex fun for themselves. And set up the room in a special way and, you know, maybe have dinner together and reminisce or hold hands or have some intimate time together and then have baby-making sex. So I think those are good ideas. I think that if there's any sexual dysfunction going on, unfortunately, physicians are not always going to ask. And couples are sometimes embarrassed. So I would say don't be embarrassed if there's a sexual problem let the doctor know, because you don't want to go through a lot of treatment and there's really some kind of sexual function going on. It's not common, but it's not uncommon. So I just wouldn't be embarrassed about that. So sometimes men, for example, if they're anxious and they have a lot of performance anxiety during this time, even though they're maybe under the age of 40 or even under the age of 35, using a sexual aid like a Viagra, I think is fine to do. I think if a woman is feeling nervous and anxious about the whole thing, then I think good self-care is critical. Actually, I think for both partners. So, you know, doing things for relaxation, doing yoga, doing qigong, doing some kind of massage or having massage, going for walks, you know, doing things that are quiet activities that, you know, are enjoyable, and to, you know, just make a conscious effort to increase your self-care. That way, when it's time to have sex, you'll be a little more interested and a little more relaxed, and sex might feel better. I think that what I will say is that for some couples, making a child is sacred. And I don't think a lot of people talk about that, but I do think that there is, for some people, it's a sacred moment. And I think honoring that and being able to connect in a different way can be very enriching for a couple. So instead of, I think that's where we started, you know, that link between procreation and recreation. I think it's sometimes difficult for people to think about making a child, having this spiritual experience, and making it fun too, right? But it's okay, like the spiritual can be fun. The spiritual does not have to be always deep, intense, kind of somber. It can be a celebration. It can bring light into this experience. And I think really any sexual experience, if the couple wants to access that, I think that's fine. And not to suppress feelings of love just because they're having sex. There's nothing shameful in having sex, and there's nothing shameful in having sex to have a baby. So I think that's important to keep in mind as well.
I'm taking notes.
Go ahead.
No, I'm taking notes. I think it's beautiful. You're so knowledgeable, and I love all the things that you're saying.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's knowledge that comes from curiosity, because so many couples, when they come in to see a sex therapist or any couples therapist, really, they say, you know, if you ask them, when did your relationship or when did your sex life get off track? And so often they will say, well, it was after the first child or second child, maybe even the third child. And, you know, you have to wonder what was going on all the way along. And I've had people, when I ask them to talk about becoming pregnant and during the pregnancy, I actually get a lot of information. Not always. I mean, sometimes people go like, yeah, it's normal. I mean, we want to have a kid and we had a kid and the pregnancy was fine. It was kind of fun. And but other couples, you find that there really was some kind of struggle going on. And it's okay. It's okay to admit that, you know, like you said, like everybody thinks that it's supposed to be so, such a happy, happy time. And maybe it isn't. You know, maybe you really feel terrible. Maybe the baby is sitting someplace and just kicking you so hard, and it's not fun, and you feel fat. And, you know, and he, the man is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, what am I going to do? How am I going to support this child? That's what men worry about. And, or, you know, what is our life going to be like once the baby is here? You know, there's a lot of anxiety. And of course, we have to think about, as we're thinking about pregnancy and all of that, there's depression. That's actually quite common for women to have baby blues, not so common to have deep depression. But I'm finding it, especially in writing this book, as I'm asking women what their mood was like, I'm surprised at how many women are telling me, you know, I didn't realize it, but I think I was really depressed. So I would also say during this time, that's a really important message, you know, during this time to, if you're feeling very depressed, to get help as well. And you don't want to be depressed because that gets in the way of your sex drive. And opportunities to be close to somebody, to your partner. So you want to watch for that.
Great. So in this show, I always explore the link between sex and spirit. So in your own words, I was curious, what is the link between sex and spirit for you?
So for me, I think to me, it's about love. I do think that love is divine force and is one of the things that makes us want to connect to another person. I think that when you're with a partner and there is genuine love for each other, it allows you to take risks and to explore your sexuality. And I'd like to say, how much pleasure can you stand? And I do believe that our bodies were made in such a way to enjoy sexual pleasure. And I think that there is something divine in that enjoyment. And I wish people did not associate shame with their sexuality. There's no need for that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on to today's show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have an opportunity to talk about this.
Yes. And also, those people who are interested to get your books, they can find you on Amazon, and your new book, Counseling Couples Before, During, and After Pregnancy, is going to be out in December. is this meant more for helping professionals, or can couples who are planning for baby get this book?
They could. It's really for professionals. It's for It's for educators and nurses and therapists and counselors and pastors. And I don't think it's not a book for couples. It's really for helpers to understand this period, this very important period of a couple's life, a little better.
Mm. And of course, they can get this book for their helping professional.
Right.
So thank you so much for coming onto today's show. And next week, I have Dawn Beck and Gerard Getz again. And they're going to be talking about love for long-term couples. So in the meantime, stay happy, keep having sex, and stay tuned to Arrow's Evolution next week.